Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for being with us once again on a Thursday evening. And what a crazy week. I don't know if it was as crazy where you are, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. My guest tonight is going to be a whole lot of fun to talk to. H. Robert Silverstein, MD, is the director of the Preventative Medical Center in Hartford, which is not very far from me. And we're going to be talking about his approach. But first, tonight's metaphysical music. And I was just saying what a crazy week it is, although it's also fall in New England, so I don't know how crazy it is, except it seems the weather has been totally wacko all across the country. We've been having glorious beginning of fall weather. It's been in the 70s, cool evenings. The fans are no longer being used. The air conditioner isn't being used. It's quiet and lovely, and there's a breeze. And then it went up to 95 with about 85% humidity. And it was stunning. It was bizarre. And then we had a thunderstorm, and within an hour, the temperatures dropped to 70 again. And today it was rainy, and tomorrow it's supposed to be in the high 60s and breezy. Okay, it's New England. The weather always changes. The saying here is, if you don't like the weather, just wait 10 minutes, and it will change, probably to something you like even less than what you were complaining about before. But it's just really odd. And tonight is a strange night because we're having what the town is calling a block party. And that means that they block the main street of town for about half a mile and set up big lights, and all the restaurants put food stands out on the street, and they have, you know, kind of a carnival atmosphere, and they have two sound stages, and it's a rainy night. I didn't even go out there because I figure it's crazy. But one of the sound stages is a block from my house. So I was sitting here getting ready for the show. And from my perspective, as somebody who's not busy in this college town getting outside and seeing what everyone's doing at the block party, I just wanted it to be quiet because I got to do this radio show. Now, most of the other people are out there going, oh, great, we got free music. It's all about what your focus is, what your attention is, and what your needs are in that moment. And we're all right. I mean, I've got my needs, and what they were doing was an annoyance, but what they were doing was perfectly fine, and they were having a great time out there appreciating that. So that's true all the time. Other than the things that are truly evil in the world, where people are being hurt or enslaved, pretty much there's going to be somebody who appreciates almost anything that's going on, and other people look at it and decide it's just crazy stuff. And as we learn to accept what life has to give us and that our preferences aren't what other people appreciate. People have different preferences. That's the beauty of the diversity of life. As you start to appreciate that, life gets more interesting and much more enjoyable. So on this bizarre rainy night, here we are at the end of the metaphysical musing and the beginning of a wonderful interview with our guest. H. Robert Silverstein is, as I said, the director of the Preventative Medical Center, and he uses complementary, alternative, and integrative medicine, and I am really curious about his approach. So, Robert, are you with us?
I certainly am.
And just as an aside, I posted the information about the show on Facebook, and somebody immediately popped up with a comment that said, oh, I know people that have gone to him. He's great. So your reputation precedes you. So what I do with everybody who's on the show, I want you to have a chance to talk about what you do and your approach, but I also want to hear a little bit about how you got here. I mean, how did you wind up doing this work, which in the medical field is very alternative, but, you know, in the shamanic world, we talk about the walkabout, you know, what did you go through to get yourself to this place and what you do?
Well, it's like everybody. It's a story. It's a journey, a series of lucky happenstances that seemed to catch my attention as I went through it. I guess I can remember that at the age of 26, when I was an intern at the Ohio State University Hospitals in Columbus, Ohio, I was sort of tuned into, which turned out to be incorrect, but I was tuned into the concept of the American Heart Association diet. And that at that time, it was the best idea going, but it did, as I said, turn out to be wrong. And it's good to have intuitions. It's also good to realize when you've made a mistake. I forget how the saying goes, something about wise people have made all the mistakes and they recognize what the mistakes were so that they can do the right thing, or something like wisdom comes from having made many mistakes so that you recognize where you should be. Right. Anyhow, I was sort of intuitively tuned into diet, which I think is a major portion, certainly not the whole portion, but it turned out to be the major focus for me. And then I went through all of the various types of diets that I didn't really catch my attention, and I slowly got off the high polyunsaturated fat diet, corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is those turn out to be cancer-causing, whereas the saturated fats like butter, cheese, meat tend to be heart disease-causing. So literally, you were turning in one disease for another. Right. And eventually, I had the good luck. I've always been a good speaker. I had the good luck to be invited to speak at some meeting in upstate New York, some Heart Association meeting in some small county. I was flown in. And on the way back, I sat beside a fellow, just plopped down beside him. His name was Victoris Kovenskis. Well, it turns out he's like the main man of raw eating. And that's who I met in the late 1970s. So he had an effect, and he said I needed to meet this woman, and then she introduced me to some people in macrobiotics. And it isn't that I think macrobiotics is the be-all, end-all. It just seems to be a real smart idea that focuses on organic whole foods, and that was what was correct for our biology based on our teeth, and the way our digestive tract is, the lack of our fangs and claws, and so on and so on, that if you ask a comparative anatomist, what are the essential requirements of the human biology, you start to get answers. And I like that you mentioned shamanic in the beginning, because you can never forget the psychological or the psycho-spiritual or the psychiatric, you can never forget that sort of ultimately what defines the human being is their mind, and how that relates to everyone else, universe, and so on. But what caught my attention, I sort of had a natural ability in chemistry, and so the chemistry of nutrition caught my attention, and that's when I realized that it was the proper idea is to be lean, not smoke, drink water and weak herb tea, exercise a great deal, stay in reality, which allows you the freedom to think the way you are. When you were talking about the rain, I was thinking to myself, first of all, you have a very nice way of speaking. You can just feel the gentility in your voice and in your thought process when one listens to the way you speak. You have to stay in reality. What I was thinking about that was my sort of a little bit more digital, matter-of-fact nature that, hey, what are you talking about, the rain? You're right. One day it rains, next day it's hot. This is New England. Get used to it. And then go focus on the kinds of things that hold your interest. But if the weather holds your interest, then fine. Focus on that too. But it's breathe, drink, eat, exercise. And the last one, like I said, was the thinking aspect. And right. those things sort of formulated over the years, but they have become who I am in terms of my outlook on life and what it is that I promote. And then, of course, you may say, well, aren't you a doctor? Yeah, I prescribe Lipitor and Crestor and Norvasc and all the drugs, because some people you can't get to change on a dime. It is my goal to get people off medications, out of surgery, to be as natural as possible, but still in all the conventional Western drugs, while they have a cost and benefit or risk and benefit, they tend to be strong medicine that work very well to get you tied over to the point where you can make the changes and eventually come off of them, if that's the way the doctor thinks, and very few do.
Right.
So that was pretty much the trip. It just took many years, and this is where I am.
Well, that's usually the case. And the reason I was mentioning shamanic is the people that I have on often are doing shamanic kinds of work, healing, alternative healing kind of work, and have very fascinating stories like mine of how they were seemingly dragged kicking and screaming, usually, from one event to another, learning things and going, oh, really? That's really? So I'm always fascinated because everyone has some version of that story. So you now have a center in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yes.
And so if someone were coming to your center, what would be the kinds of patients that would be looking for the services, and how do you approach things for the most common things that people come to you for?
Well, I am a board-certified internist and a board-certified cardiologist, and so I'm trained in all of those disciplines. I don't do any kind of gynecology. I basically see patients, and I see standard patients who just picked me because they needed a physical or an HMO and they didn't know anything about me. I usually make the joke, because of my tough nature, who is it that sent you to me that doesn't like you? Because I'm sort of straightforward, and they're a little bit surprised when I start telling them that fish and chicken are not exactly their friends, and they cook vegetables and vegetable soup. Now I'm talking primarily about the overweight. Cook vegetables, vegetable soup, and berries are sort of the ideal direction to go. And again, it does not happen on a dime. So then I take care of patients with cancer. I had a telephone consult today. And again, just to sort of clear things up as best possible, I'm not really looking for patients, but you asked and I'll answer it. I can do telephone consults. I can do live body consults. You said I'm in Hartford, Connecticut. People drive from Maine to see me. People drive from Virginia to see me. I'm not one of the real famous types. There's not a lot of people. I used to have one fellow that flew in from South America, and I had another one who flew in from Los Angeles. But anybody can come see me. All they have to do is call and make an appointment, and then I will go over whatever your problem is. And I often quote saying, I never met a man I didn't like. That's a very famous saying. Well, yeah. I always sort of felt I never met a person that I couldn't help. Of course, that's not true 100%. It's true enough, but it's not true 100%. And so as a result, most people would be helped. But I'll say this. Anybody who wants to get a taste of what I'm about, go to my website. Just put my name, H. Robert Silverstein, little correction there, Silverstein, sorry, not Stein, MD, into Google, and then my name will pop up with a link to our website. That's the easy way to do it. The direct way to get to the website is www.thepmc.com. thepreventivemedicinecenter.org, and that stands for the Preventive Medicine Center. So thepmc.org. And right on that homepage is a section called Recent Posts. And under that is the word UConn, UConn. That's the University of Connecticut. And yeah. I gave a one-hour speech to what's called the Department of Medicine. And that one-hour speech is one of the best presentations I ever gave. It is clear to the point. It explains how I think about blood pressure, cholesterol, curability of disease, and fallacies in standard medical thinking, errors in statistics, and so on, that outlines my approach. Now, that doesn't tell you that if you have an arrhythmia, that I might prescribe hawthorn extract, or if you're having trouble sleeping, I'd recommend passion flower, or that I send people to these wonderful physical therapists that I have not far from my office. By the way, I just have to put in the non-commercial. I have no economic benefit from any of the people, whatever, that I mention. It's all strictly just what I think. So I like Farmington Valley Physical Therapy. I call them my magical physical therapists. Uh-huh. And they are just a phenomenon. And so I use all the modalities. I refer to chiropractors, naturopaths, hypnotists. And, of course, I do a lot of stuff myself with nutrition in particular, but also smoking cessation. I worked on that with a patient today, alcohol control, stuff like that. But that's not a major focus of mine. I tend to send patients out to specialty groups when there's some issue. And I do have specialists. I use neurologists and so on.
So it's a really broad range of both issues and approaches that you use, which is great.
Well, you mentioned the CAIM, Complementary Alternative Integrative Medicine, and I call it CAIM. CAIM. As a matter of fact, there's an essay on my website that's called CAIM and ABLE. And obviously, a play on Cain and Abel. And that is the idea that you really need to put it together. And by the way, on that same website is the link to my two TV shows. I do two public access TV shows, one in Hartford, one in West Hartford. And I talk about a wide variety of things on that. They are public medical education, so I keep it at that level, and almost anybody can understand. Get rave reviews, never get a criticism, and wonder why I haven't been called to Broadway yet.
So are those shows recorded and available online?
The link to I've never tried to do it myself, but it's set up so that if you know how to do that kind of thing, you can go there and click on those two links, and then just work your way through the system, and then you can see all my cable access TV shows going back quite a while.
Fantastic. Fantastic. What a great resource. So since I'm looking for the right diet for myself as well, and I'm experimenting with a couple of things, can I ask you your opinion of a couple of things that have gotten thrown at me?
Well, before I throw them back at you, let me say this. I think that our biology is at least 90% vegetarian, which translates as wild-caught fish, free-range chicken, cage-free eggs, or bison about two times a week at the most. If you're in really great shape, maybe three times a week. There are apparent benefits to having more animal protein in your diet on the short term, but it's called pay me now or pay me later. Animal protein raises cholesterol, raises blood pressure, thins the bones, creates an acid condition in the body. And one of the things that I say on my website is my healthiest patients are vegan vegetarian. So go ahead, ask your question with that little introduction.
Okay. And we've only got a few minutes anyways until our break. Well, one of the things that's been around a lot as I talk to people is the paleo diet. And I think you've sort of given your opinion on that.
Well, let me say this.
It's coming from a similar point of view.
If we live like those people, that would be okay. live outside, had to chase down our food, might not be able to eat for 2 days in a row. That's a whole different biochemistry in the human body than eating high animal protein every day.
Okay, so the issue, as you see it, is that the body is not being used in the same way, so eating all that animal protein is not appropriate and is not processed well. How about the whole thing of staying away from grains and anything that comes from agriculture in general?
I know people who are raw eaters, and they are remarkably healthy. I'd like to say that I'm practical, and the reason I'd link those two statements together is to be a raw eater is a rather consuming lifestyle, and if
yes.
you can do it, God bless you, go ahead and do it. I don't think it's wrong. Of course, it's completely vegan, and I've said before, my healthiest patients are vegan, but if that's not your temperament, and you can't sort of work your way into it, then I would say don't do it. As far as the grains, I'm a little bit of a historian. The history of the human race that's lived in society is based on the fact that grains were raised, that that's where enough calories are. If you look on my website, you'll see areas where I write about grains, vegetables, and beans, and in parentheses, fruit, nuts, and seeds. Grains and beans are the way you're going to get your protein, are the way you're going to get enough calories in. It's pretty hard to get enough calories in if you just eat vegetables. And unless you're eating very high-calorie fruit as a raw eater, lots of bananas, you're going to have a hard time keeping your weight up. But I think that, you know, you take a look at the history of the Chinese, the history of the Indians, we're talking about rice. You take a look at Europe, you're talking about barley, you're talking about millet. One thing I would agree with, you really should stay away from wheat
yes.
and rye. I'm a big believer that it is messed up by what we've done to it, and I am opposed to GMO in general just because I am not convinced that that's safe. I'm not convinced it's dangerous, but I'm not convinced it's safe either. So,
okay, well, let's pick up on that after the break, because we're going to go to break in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
My guest is Robert Silverstein, MD, from Hartford, Connecticut, who uses all kinds of alternative approaches. And tell us the website again.
www.thepmc.org.
.org. Terrific. We will be back in a few minutes after these hysterical and fascinating messages here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Don't go nowhere. Stay with us.
I'm home and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home and I love it. I'm home.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home, where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Robert Silverstein, a physician in Hartford, Connecticut, who uses all kinds of alternative approaches. And you were saying some interesting things about GMO when we cut to the break. So why don't you continue that thought?
Well, you want to be as sure as you can about the facts. And generally, you have to look at things that have been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years, to figure out what constitutes the safe. And I don't think that GMO has been around long enough, tested long enough. There is that concept called unintended consequences.
And, oh, yeah.
And so I think that it is a case. So when I was little, there was a radio program, and I think it got on TV. It was called You Bet Your Life. And that is exactly what you're doing with GMO foods. You may win. It may be perfectly safe. It may add things to your life and nutrition and longevity, and it may also be whatever causing. I did not grab the word cancer because that's what everybody's afraid of, but it might cause Alzheimer's disease or diabetes. Or, like I said, it may protect you from diseases. I'm just not willing to take that bet.
Right. If I can digress for just a minute, a friend of mine is in the process of dying. And she had a very fast-growing tumor that started in her ear and basically took over the side of her head. And it was, as far as they can tell, because it's so rare and there's only one thing they know of that would start it, she was treated as a young child with an ear infection with ultraviolet light, which seems pretty innocuous. But all these decades later was what instigated this very rare form of tumor. And so we don't really have any idea when we do these clever things what the processional effects will be.
And, when I was little, we used to try on shoes at the Buster Brown store, and they had a gadget in there where you could use X-ray to look at your feet. Everybody did.
Yeah, they had a fluoroscope. I remember them. Seemed like a great idea at the time, but who knows what our generation will have as foot problems, or just the effect of that much radiation on small children. So the GMO is just a fascinating thing, and it sounds like you know way more about it than I do. One of the things that I know they've done with corn is they're putting the pesticide into the corn, and what that means is, as I understand it, when you eat the corn, the pesticide is then in your gut, which doesn't seem like a great idea to me somehow.
Well, you've picked a great subject, and that is corn. Corn used to be a tiny, tiny, tiny little something that wasn't even edible. And the Indians of Mesoamerica, meaning primarily Mexico and that area, started breeding it and rebreeding it and breeding it. And eventually they got it to the point where it was corn on the cob. And the corn on the cob that was stable for years and years and years and years and years and years was the one that's multicolored. Now, right. Are you eating any multicolored corn? Because everything that you're eating that isn't multicolored corn turns out to be some version of something that was changed by preferential breeding. And that may be, it certainly does enhance the taste, which brings me to a key idea, taste. Why do we want to eat things that taste good? And that has to do with the concept of scarcity. Our biology is such that we're not supposed to find very much that really tastes that good. I often think about the pictures we've all seen of a bear who's eating honey and at the same time getting stung. Why on earth would a bear allow itself to get stung just to eat that honey? And the point is, that's not the everyday food. That's the real treat. And right. that's what's happening to us. It isn't a bee that stings us when we have a hamburger or a cheeseburger. It's the development of the heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. And so my point is that whatever you like that tastes really good, and by the way, I have an essay on my website called I Don't Like Brown Rice, Vegetables, and Beans. And as I tell my patients, that is literally a true statement. I don't like them. I didn't say I dislike them. I said I don't like them. Anything you like is pulling on your own internal biochemistry a little too hard. And I can hear the uproar already. I love quinoa. I love broccoli and cauliflower. I love lentil barley soups. Yes, but if you've been experienced and had French fries and potato chips and ice cream and Kentucky Fried Chicken, those things, to me, taste better than brown rice, vegetables, and beans, which is the hint you shouldn't be doing those either at all or very much. So our food, it's the eat to live as opposed to the live to eat idea. We right. should have food that's tasty enough, but doesn't really get, and I use the word, I think, correctly, others will argue, stoned, the way the really high-taste foods do.
Right. And, of course, the especially fast food industry puts exactly the combination of things into the food as flavorings to make them addictive and hit all those sensors in the brain.
Correct.
So there's sugar on McDonald's French fries along with the salt.
I didn't know that, but that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. And so you've got fat, sugar, and salt, and your brain just goes wacko. I got to have them. Got to have
right.
more. The other thing I heard recently is that wheat, as it exists now, is so different from what it was 100 or 200 years ago.
Well, 300 or 400 years ago, it hardly existed at all. That's when people in Northern Europe were eating spelt. They weren't
right.
even eating wheat. And then right. gradually, wheat started to come in. And then you are right. In the past couple of hundred years, it's changed and changed and changed.
Well,
my own
thing
thought about wheat is that wheat stimulates insulin production, and that makes you hungry. And I'm sure everybody's heard of the book called Wheat Belly. So I think I tell people to be gluten-free whether they have the celiac genes or not.
Right.
Because, like I said, I think wheat stimulates their appetite. And the way I figured that out was it's sort of a question arose to me, what's called a thought experiment, like Einstein. Why
oh,
yes. on earth do you think they serve you bread, rolls, and a salad at the beginning of a meal when they're going to make their money off the chicken or the turkey or the steak or the fish? And the right. answer is those things are going to stimulate your appetite. So lettuce is another food that I don't really recommend. And if you have any weight issues, then I recommend avoiding raw foods because you can't quite get full enough and you're crunching away and then your jaw gets fatigued. And so you stop eating because of jaw fatigue rather than full satisfaction in your stomach. And so if you're overweight, I recommend a mostly cooked foods and green drink diet. And we can talk about green drinks if you wish.
Well, I'd love to. The thought I just wanted to add to it was that what I read was that wheat now acts as an opiate in the body, that it actually attaches to the opiate sensors and cells. So it's getting people high and it's addictive.
Well, the phrase that I have for that is repeat reward-seeking chemicals in our brain. And you are absolutely right. That is exactly what opiates do. There are what are called mu receptors, and then there's the marijuana receptors, the endocannabinoid receptors, and there are other reward-seeking behaviors that have to do with dopamine. That's where MDMA or PCP cocaine sort of focus on. There are many different reward centers, reward chemicals in the brain, and the correct idea is repeat. You eat those things, you want more. It's the old proverbial right. potato chip ad, but you can't eat one.
Right. Right. And which always reminds me of what I say to my daughter about things like Pringles. I say, it's not food. It's not made out of potatoes. It's some stuff that got scrunched up and made into the perfect size to go in a can.
Right.
Or any number of other things that have been modified so badly that they're no longer food. I also tell her not to eat anything that's fluorescent orange. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There can't be any way to do that without
you. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think the Ten Commandments exist?
Mm.
And the answer is that we needed laws. We were starting to become civilized enough to build cities and have communities at that time. And in order to live successfully together, we had to have some laws. And what are those laws about? Those laws are about not seeking too much pleasure. You get angry with your parents, you're not supposed to kill them. And you're not supposed to covet, want, desire, seduce your neighbor's husband or wife. And the point being is, well, why is that such an issue? And the reason is, that is such an issue. That's our nature. Our nature is to go for the things that really kind of turn you on, turn us on, turn me on, turn you on. And so we need to control those. So whenever anybody is doing anything that they really like, and again, it's not 100%, but because there are people who enjoy exercise, and that's fine. People who enjoy the company of their family. It's not all the things that we like we shouldn't do, but that's where being a human being comes in. You have to figure out which are the right ones to be drawn to and which are the wrong ones to be drawn to. And, of course, that's what I think my website and my practice is about. You get my two cents of what constitutes the right or the good and what constitutes the wrong or the dangerous. And so people come to me for that information, and
right.
I put it out
right.
there like I know what I'm talking about, whether I do or I don't.
Well, you know more than most people do, so that's a starting point.
Yeah, starting point.
Yeah, what comes to mind is I used to have an ongoing disagreement, shall we say, with my former father-in-law over margarine versus butter. And, you know, I just... whether or not I had the facts that could prove it to him, it made no sense to me that what had been eaten by human beings throughout history since we domesticated cows was worse than something that basically was plastic, because margarine is a polymer and it's only one atom in the polymer chain different from most plastics. And he was a scientist, and he just... his doctor had told him to eat margarine, so he ate margarine, and he was scared for me because I ate butter, which is, was just a fascinating look at how different perspectives can completely take over the ability to take in any other information.
Well, like I said before, the words I like, he liked margarine enough. somebody had painted a story enough that butter was dangerous. And in significant quantities, butter is dangerous. But in significant quantities, margarine is dangerous too. And which one's a little more dangerous, I'm not going to say. But I don't recommend really either one. I think the Italians got it right. Use extra virgin olive, organic ideally, extra mm-hmm. virgin olive oil on your bread or in your cooking. And one of the things I always said was if I could take one flavor into the kind of grained vegetable bean cooking that I recommend, it would be butter. But that tells you something. It tells you it's too good to be true. So you have to be very, very discreet in the use of butter. I'm not saying never. I never say never to anything. But I do believe that dairy products cause breast cancer and prostate cancer, although I don't think it's true of butter and cheese, not that I recommend them. They're great for heart disease development. And margarine, that's great for cancer development. So if you want to think about how to keep me in business, do either or both in significant quantities.
Well, since we're talking about oils, there was a controversy that I heard just this week over coconut oil, because I know lots of people that are doing all kinds of stuff with coconut oil, and it's, you know, one of the, I don't know if it's a fad or it's true, but lots of people are using it for all kinds of things, and somebody just told me that it causes inflammation in the body. So what's your take on coconut oil?
Coconut oil is sort of a newcomer. One of the principles of the discipline that I ended up in basically said, be local. Coconuts don't grow here.
Right.
Be appropriate.
Well, neither do olives.
Location that you live in.
Neither do olives.
Don't be thinking about tropical fruit here. Be thinking about apples and plums and peaches and pears, not bananas, oranges. And you might say, well, does that mean you're not going to put lemon in your tea? Look, I already told you twice. I'll tell you a third time. Anything once in a while, no big deal. But where is the heft of what I recommend? I tried coconut oil for a while, and it gave me a regular heartbeat. And I thought, that's not true. It's not doing that. And so I tried it off. I tried it on, off, on, off, on. It was giving me irregular heartbeat. I am a little bit predisposed to irregular heartbeat. So you need what is called the canary in the mine. You need me in that mine to test out the sensitivities of certain things about whether or not they're safe. And to me, since it gave me that effect, I feel it was giving other people certain effects that they weren't aware of. Coconut is a short chain, or a medium chain, rather, fatty acid, as opposed to most of the foods like olive oil and butter and cheese, which are long-chain fatty acids. Safflower and sunflower and sesame oil are even longer-chain polyunsaturated fats. And the long-chain polyunsaturated fats are thought to be cancer-causing. Olive oil is sort of right in the middle. It's a monounsaturated. That means it's only got one, what we call double bond. And that appears to be the most neutral and safest as far as I'm concerned. So I don't go for the things on either end of the spectrum or any end of the outside. I sort of like the organic extra virgin olive oil right in the middle. Maybe walnut oil.
Walnut oil? That sounds...
Or almond oil. In other words, what oils have been around for a really long time?
Right.
And you can say, well, peanut oil has been around for a long time, or sesame oil has been around a long time. Again, the discipline that I think is the smartest is the macrobiotic direction, which I consider to be a dumb word for a smart idea. And it's not that I'm completely macrobiotic, but I believe that their combination of oriental medicine, going back to the phrase, came complementary, alternative, integrative medicine, I think they sort of put it together best of all. Again, it's not a religion, but I think it's more right than most other disciplines and theories.
And yeah, it's interesting. I've stayed away from macrobiotics just because, for me personally, I found being a vegetarian very hard. I was a vegetarian for about 5 years, and somehow my body does better with meat. But so I've been looking for a balanced approach that includes that.
Well, macrobiotics is not simple, and if not done right, it will create cravings and mineral deficiencies and so on. But what I would encourage you to do, I like to talk about a concept called pork fried rice. I'm always astounded at how little pork there is in pork fried rice. So right. I would tell you, you know, eat tiny diced amounts of meat. Don't eat meat per se. Don't have a piece of chicken for dinner or a steak or a hamburger. Put it in with the brown rice and the vegetables and the beans and find the balance that way, because our biology is over 90% vegetarian, which doesn't mean 100%. It's just that's what our biology is.
Uh-huh. Okay. So what are the other key things that you usually tell people?
Well, now let's just undo what I said. There are people who live to 90 and 95 and who are perfectly well and healthy, and they don't know a damn thing about macrobiotics, and they've eaten a little bit of meat and even smoked a couple of cigarettes a day. And you may say, how did they do it? Well, there is this concept, which is the name of my two TV shows, and it's called Putting It All Together. Of course, there's always an element of luck. And the people who tend to live very long time with very few things going wrong with them over the course of their life tend to be discreet. They tend not to snack. They tend to be on the lean side, very active, very focused on whatever, whether it's keeping their house clean or mowing their lawn or serving or working, continuing to work in their 80s, 90s, and so on. And there is something in and of itself about that. But if you want to take a look at the general population and find out what is most likely to prevent diabetes, cancer, heart disease, osteoporosis, diverticulitis, hiatus hernia, gallstones, and so on, it is a, so to speak, brown rice, vegetable, bean, fruit, nut, and seed diet with wild-caught fish, palm-sized serving, or free-range chicken, or cage-free eggs, or bison, about two, maybe three times a week. So again, it's not about being 100% vegan, vegetarian. It's about being mostly in a given direction. And if you want to bend the rules a little more and have a little more animal protein, then just be sure you're exercising enough to keep your percent body fat down and you're doing everything else correctly.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan. And unfortunately, in this country, there are very few people that are following even the most basic elements of it. But I think especially the level of exercise to support the level of calories or protein that people are taking in, which is, you know, people talk about it more than they do it.
Right. Yeah, right.
So, all right, we're getting down to the last few minutes of the show. What do you want to leave people with and tell people again a little bit about your practice and how they can get in touch with you?
Okay. Go to the website. All the information is there. The easiest way, instead of trying to remember those letters, thepmc.org, just put my name, H. Robert Silverstein, M.D., into Google, and it'll bring you right to our website. It's a large website. It's got a lot of information. I've written a book called Maximum Healing, which is available on Amazon, that also has the contact information, as well as direction, discussion of vitamins, minerals, herbs in it. It spells out all the ideas that I put forth. And again, I'm not trying to sell the book. You ask the question, where can they get the information? Those are the major places. I am in Hartford, Connecticut. All you have to do is, again, look my name up on Google. You'll find the contact information. We have an email at our website where you can ask questions to a point. And if you want to do a telephone consult, we can do that. If you want to come down and see me, we can do that. Just make the contact, and that's it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So, again, the website is the PMC, as in Preventative Medical Center. So the
Preventive Medicine Center.
Center, the PMC.org.
Right.
And my guest has been H. Robert Silverstein, just where I grew up. We said it differently. From the Preventative Medical Center in Hartford, Connecticut, and he's the author of the book Maximum Healing, and his practice is complementary alternative integrative medicine, using all kinds of alternative approaches with modern medicine, which is a wonderfully balanced approach. So thank you so much for being on the show, Robert.
I have really enjoyed
really it. Really appreciate you taking the time. And it's always fun meeting someone who's relatively local that, you know, I didn't know anything about your practice, and now I can tell people that you're there. And this show is in the archives, and people all over the world hear about this. So, you know, hopefully both your practice and what you're explaining to people will get to a lot more people.
Good. So, appreciate the opportunity.
And it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So if by chance listening to me has made you curious about what in the world does David do, you can go to househealing.com and get all the information there. And I hear the theme music in the background, so he's hinting that we got to close right now. So this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. Truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. See you next week.
All right, we are all clear.
Okay, and Robert, are you with us? I think he
hung up. I just heard it go out. Yeah,
I heard clicking.